Blog Talk Radio.
Persevering through 2022. As we know, this year is kind of rolling by kind of quickly. I can't even say we have much of a spring up here in the Northeast because it kind of feels like it's still slash spring, slash winter, but hopefully summer are going to kind of kick in real soon. But in the meantime, we're rolling through it. You know, I'm Mark Elliott, soon to be joined by two guests, Mr. Dean Reese and Mr. Jones. And you should know by now, we are One Black Man Talk, a provocative conversation we will be getting into, giving our perspective on life, love, and relationships. But I wanted to pull some time back and pull back a little bit and look at 2022, because I was thinking to myself the other day, we're kind of in our 50s and we're rolling on, and who would have thought maybe 20 years ago how we'd be feeling about certain things? So I wanted to kind of stop for a second and kind of just get a feel for how we're feeling about the 2022 and how we feel in our golden years. And do such, I'm going to bring in one Mr. D. Maurice. First, good morning, sir. It's our Sunday morning get-together, and you know, we'll do some things. I want to say this, too, man. Last week we didn't do a show, and I got a chance to head out and do something I haven't done in a while, my brother. I went out and played some volleyball. Ooh, man.
Man, video on that. Do you have video?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And maybe this is where it came from, because playing volleyball at $50 as opposed to at $20, a totally different thing. And I enjoyed it. I had a good time, man. My shirt was soaked and wet. I'm running around like, you know, chicken with his head cut off. I loved it. Loved every second. I'm probably going out to play some this afternoon, but bringing it to you in a sense, good morning. But how does this feel to be basically in 2022? I remember, you know, I graduated high school in 1980. And it seemed like that been so long ago, man. So we stopped and think about it. How does it feel to be among the living in 2022?
Very, very fortunate and very humbling, man, because there are a lot of people that I know and I know you know and that not here, man. And, you know, at times you don't understand, you know, why people, you know, are not on the journey, and you realize sometimes that people are there for a reason, and you have to realize that, take a step back, and appreciate the times you have with them. And so, but I feel very fortunate, man. I feel very fortunate that I have my health, that I'm able to do the things that I do. Is really crazy because you said we're in our 50s. I'm 55, and when I tell people that age, they're like, no, you can't be. You know, it's almost like it's like they can't believe it. But I'm doing things that 20 and teenagers are doing, like you saying playing volleyball out there. I want you to videotape on that. But you know. You got to prove that to me, brother. I know you're in physical fitness and everything, but it's, you know, I don't think of the age, but I'm very fortunate to be among the living. I'm very fortunate to be able to teach and to be around a lot of folks. So it's all good.
There's a question from that, because when you think about being a physician, I said to a cat the other day, man, he was moaning and groaning, yeah, 52. And I said, look, man, I said, I'm about 5-6 months from 60. He said, get out. I said, yeah. He said, I can't see that looking at you. Now, that's always good to hear. But I'm wondering at this age, because, you know, for us, you know, we all do some things individually. But what's the motivation now? Because when you're younger, as a male, you have things that you're grinding towards, that you're trying to achieve, you're trying to fulfill. You have these thoughts you want to kind of see open up and happen. But as you start to age, some of us, we start to slow down and realize some of those thoughts were just thoughts. They weren't going to come to fruition. And now that we're, you know, we're in our 50s, what do you find to be your motivation now? When you basically see yourself grinding or thinking about grinding, what feels inside of you to kind of get you moving in that direction?
That I'm still living and I'm still here and there's a purpose and there are still things to do. And I think about the ones that passed on. I think about my mother. I think about my grandparents. I think about a lot of people who sacrificed their lives for me to do what I do and to be here. And so that's motivating. Every time I think about quitting or saying, you know, I don't feel like doing this, I don't feel like doing that, you know, I'm like, F your feelings, man. Just get out there and, you know, you have the DNA of all those people that came before you. So you have an obligation to get out there and do what you need to do to make things better, to make things work, to make things happen, man, because there's a reason why we're still breathing. And I'm always trying to find the purpose and reason for that and to move on.
I like how you bring it back to the people that came before us, because there's a sense of obligation to them that because of what they did, we're allowed to do what we did or what we can do. And in that mindset, I just can't sit and be idle and just kind of let time just roll on by. I try to soak up every good man I can of this gift and do something. And for me, you know, as the older I became, of course, more peace came and, you know, more tranquility. But at the same time, the energy to just basically grind, get things done, fulfill, you know, I thought when I was younger, you know, I got to this age in life, I would kind of just coast basically, get here and just like put my feet up and kind of coast for the most part. And then I realized, you know, as I start to age, that's the last thing I want to do, man. I'm not saying I don't enjoy coasting, but that's the last thing. And I'm thankful and I'm blessed. I still have the energy. I still have the mindset and things that I want to accomplish, things I enjoy doing. And it's so fulfilling. It's so fulfilling. And then I look back at some things that I said I wanted to be doing at this point, and I see myself in that direction. What's more better than that? Mr. Charles, we'll bring you in, man. Good morning. But we're kind of talking about, in a sense, we find ourselves in 2022. You know, we think about that. We, as we were living, we probably never thought about it. And I said earlier, I graduated high school in 1980. 80, bro. Probably doing, if I'm not mistaken, we was doing the WAP back then, the Cabbage Patch and all other stuff. Those names you don't even hear anymore. 2022, here we are. We're getting it done. You stop and think about that, man. How does that make you feel?
Wow. Good morning. Good afternoon. All of that. Wow. Accomplished. Let's say blown away, because if I think back as to when I was coming up or growing up and what my mindset was and how I thought my life would evolve, I had no idea. Didn't really truth, and I said to you guys before, didn't know if I'd be here, man. Thought I might be gone a lot earlier because there were some situations that could have went another way. You know, if I'd have went left, who knows? It's real talk. If I went left, instead I went right. But I had the option to go left or right. But a lot of people don't make they don't make the right decision sometimes. And because of happenstance or whatever. But, no, I just think that it's remarkable, man. And what's even more remarkable is my father, a long, 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 long time ago, told me it was possible. And I told him, I said, man, you crazy. Ain't no way. No way. Me? I had too many things against me. He was like, no, au contraire, mon frère. No, my son, this is possible. And, that, you know, when somebody sees it way before you do, then you just kind of go, you ask yourself, it's like a great teacher. What do you see that I don't, and why do you care? Those are some of the things that pass through you. So, yeah.
That's deep right there. What do you see that I don't see, and why do you care? And that's it right there, man, because we all need someone sometimes in our life, young or old, to kind of see some things that we probably can't see. But they see us kind of heading that direction, and they see what we're capable of. And I know I've heard you say this a couple of times, Mr. DeMaurice, that your mother, I think you said your mother, if I'm not, maybe you said grandmom, but our family that I know of, when it comes down to education, they didn't go far. You know, I think my mother was pulled out of school fourth or fifth grade to work on a farm. And if my mother, I know for a fact that my mother basically would have followed education, she could have been whatever she wanted to be. She could have been whatever she wanted to be. She basically, when she was pulled out on the farm at a young age, at that point decided that she was going to move on and get married and start a family. And you know, gave birth to five children. You think about it now, man, we look at families, they're not that size anymore. They're smaller, one, two, and partly because of finances, but partly too because selfishness, where people don't want to contribute their time and effort to raising big families anymore. But when we think about it, all our families, people that are around us that gave us that support, they may not have reached the education and pinnacle they were trying to reach, but they pushed us to do so. They gave us that push. They gave us that motivation, that encouragement. When you think about it, when they didn't go there themselves, how in turn, you know, come back to you, Mr. Charles, how can they in turn basically say to you, no, I see it in you, and you don't even know what's available, but you just got to stay on the path. How did that fall into their mindset, sir?
Wow. I think that for some of the reason, like you said, I think they were visionaries, and I think that they saw or they had dreams, and they were not afraid to express their dreams. And maybe if they expressed their dreams, I know for my dad, maybe one of their kids or somebody they could latch on to would take them for a ride. I believe that with all my heart. My father and I, our childhoods in a way are very similar, and I pointed out in that book that I'm putting together, that I think he knew what was capable. He saw the world, and he didn't get stuck in where he was at. He didn't get stuck in the point of, okay, I only have a 10th grade education. He didn't get stuck that I'm limited because I'm working in a foundry, and every day I'm putting this work in with this coal and all this other stuff. But he still allowed his mind to dream and wander and explore. And I remember, I think it was Maya Angelou that put together in a book that says, I know why caged birds sing. Just because you're in a certain situation does not mean you can allow yourself, your mind to blossom and evolve. And I think they still had dreams. They still had aspirations. So if they could make it, they wanted to see one of their offspring or somebody close to them make it, because the dream is real. And last but not least, as I say on this beautiful quote, it's so true to me. Vision without execution is mere hallucination. Again, vision without execution is mere hallucination, which simply means you can dream all you want to or about certain things, but if you do not act and deliver, it's still a dream. And why not act, and why not be deliberate in doing something that could make yourself feel good and be great?
There it is. I think of a quote that when you were speaking, that something that popped in my head. I heard someone once say, you know, the ghetto, I may live in a ghetto, but the ghetto doesn't live in me. And I think sometimes for some of us, we might have lived in areas or we're in situations when we're younger, and we think because we're there, we can't inspire and we can't look out and venture out and become beyond that and move beyond that. And sometimes we stay there. This is just, Demetrius, I'm coming back to you with the same thing, and I want to put this in perspective too, because we talk of our parents having the vision, the encouragement, the support, and basically taking two hands in their foot and, you know, projecting and pushing us into something that they couldn't even go into or be not going to, because you think about it too, they grew up at a time when they couldn't go certain places, some of them. They couldn't walk through certain doors easily. You know, they basically had to do things much different than what we're accustomed to doing that we don't know nothing about. We can only read about or listen if they tell us and they share it with us. And ironically, they got it done. They set the solid foundation to project us out. So it's interesting when you stop and kind of go back and pull back the covers and look how they had that vision. They had that thought, that feel that, okay, I want you to be XYZ. Even if you don't see it, I'm going to set you up to be such. Your reaction to it, sir?
Yeah, I mean, I think I rarely hear this, but the generation that comes before you is supposed to make it better, or you're supposed to do better each generation to kind of get, you know, a foothold in society. And I think what I know my parents saw is that they saw the benefits of an education. I know my dad, I remember he said he was he got straight A's throughout school, except in his, I think his junior year when he started really going out and dating, I think he got a B. And then instead of going to college or instead of going playing sports in college, he went to the Army. And after that experience, he was like, nah, this is not going to be what I want for my son. And so that he kept pushing me. Now, nowhere near, I was nowhere near like the A student he was, because I had some C's and D's and all that stuff in the A's and B's.
Oh.
But he was, he just kept pushing. It's like, you know, he didn't even give me an option. He's like, you're not going to the armed forces. You're going to college. And so that's all I knew when I was coming up. You know, I had cousins and other folks who went to the armed forces. And he's like, that's not for you. Don't even think that's not an option for you. And so I thank him for that because he just kept pushing me. And he knew the value of what a college degree would be for me. And that I was talking to him the other day. And I said, did I make you proud? And he said, you far exceeded my expectations. And so his expectation was to go to college and set yourself up for life. And so when I went to undergrad and then I went to grad, he wasn't expecting me to go to grad school, but I remember he got sick and I was headed to North Carolina to go live with him after my mom died. And he called me from a hospital bed. He's like, nope, you got accepted to grad school. Stay there and finish what you started. So I'll be fine. Just go there and stay. And so even after an adult with education, he was still pushing me to, you know, to go as far as I can. And so in turn, you push your children. You push the next generation. Like, I made it this far. I made it a point to I wasn't going to go to my graduate level graduation at one particular point. And a buddy of mine talked me out of it. He said, man, go and take your children. My children were very small at the time. He said, go and take your children so they can see and get an example. When they get to a point where they want to quit or something like that, they'll see that as an example. They saw you study. They saw you reading. They saw you. You took them to the library. You took them to school with you. He said, finish it. Let them see the victory and the reward after all that hard work. And I'm glad he told me that because I remember my daughter, I was picking her up from college one day and she was like, I remember when you graduated, and she was close to graduation. She said, I always thought about that. And I'm like, wow, you know, the foresight he had to put it, cause I was like, man, I'm done with grad school. I didn't want to, you know, go to a ceremony and all that. But he's like, no, it's not for you. It's for other people to celebrate you. And it's for your children to see what this is all about. And so I think each generation is supposed to push the next generation. I think that gets lost in the Black community a lot. It's like, you know, we find ourselves even at the same point or even less than, and that shouldn't be. So I don't know if it's jealousy within the Black community, where you don't want to see your kids do better than you. I think that's crazy that you don't want to see your kids or your grandchildren to do better than you. I think that just makes the family that much more richer and that much stronger. But yeah, they just pushed, man, pushed, and they knew they couldn't get it, but they were going to push you past that point. So maybe they envisioned that, you know, if we push him past this point, he will push his children, or they will push their children past this point. And a lot of things weren't really available to them, the resources, but they saw it open up for us, and they made us take advantage of those resources.
It's interesting you spoke of, you know, how it should be in the Black generational sense or whatever. And realistically, man, you're right. It's that jealousy. And I'm going to say this as well, a lot of laziness. And I think that's what breeds the jealousy, because if you, in a sense, dropped the ball, well, you became lazy and complacent. Now, as the person coming behind you, you don't want to see them outshine you. So you want them to basically stay at your level or below your level, because you know realistically within yourself, you didn't push yourself to what you should have done. You chose to do, like Mr. Charles said earlier, you might have chosen to go left. So you don't want them to go right and surpass you, but you should be happy that even if you went left, you should be happy the fact that they can go right. And it's not about them surpassing you. It's about them elevating themselves and improving themselves and being the best that they can be. And that is really your responsibility, in a sense, to help. And that should be our responsibility as a community, help our community inspire and grow. But I want to touch on this, and I'll come back to Mr. Charles with something. You know, it's great, man, that, you know, as you said, you're 50, I think you said you're 55, and you have a, you have the availability to ask your dad, you know, I made you proud. I can't remember exactly how you phrase it, man. And to hear the answer, bro, and to hear the answer, you're not talking to a gravesite. You know, you're not talking to a memory, in a sense, and you can ask that and get that answer, man. I can only imagine how that could feel, because plenty of us don't have that opportunity to basically say through our loved ones and our parents, in a sense, you know, how, and in that sense, ask that particular question. So, I mean, that had to be awesome. But, Mr. Charles, I'm going to come back to you, man, because we, you know, just spoke that you're working on a book. And I want to understand, you know, because I think that's phenomenal, man. I want to understand what drives you, or what was the motivating factor to say, you know, I want to take this, what I've learned, what I've seen with my father, my family, and I want to put it on paper. I mean, where did that come from? I mean, how did that come to be?
Man, D-Maurice, you better not start laughing. You better not start laughing. That's all I'm going to say. It was crazy. I mean, for some reason or another, I don't know why this is, but for a long time, like over 10 years, when things were happening to me in my life where I thought it was kind of weird and what I was going through, and my situation, the way I grew up, primarily only child, and my father being my primary parent, certain things just spoke to me, and I would write them down. And I did this for a while, and I'm like, I don't know why you write this down. You might as well just put this in a journal, because it's not, you're not going to use it for anything. But the more and more I got into it, I just kept writing and writing. And then I would tell people about some things that would happen to me or had happened and what was going on. And, you know, I talked with D-Maurice about it one time, a couple of times, probably a thousand times. He's probably like, oh, here you go again. Keep telling the whole damn story. So I was talking to him, and he said, you should write a book. And I'm like, man, I don't know how to write a book. But it was the fact that through our conversations and conversations with other people that it meant that it felt like I needed to say it. And the more and more I thought about it, I thought about these are some key lessons. And number one, maybe it can help somebody else if they see what I've been through and I express it. Number two, I want the world to know who my father was, man. And not just my father, but other people like my father that went through hell in a handbasket, 16 years old, leaving where he grew up at, and then joining the Navy, lying to join the Navy and go to World War II, become a gunner's mate on Pearl Harbor. You know, not, no disrespect to those that served in peacetime, but 16 handling ammunition on a ship in Pearl Harbor fighting World War II. I wanted people to know. I really did. And the more and more I thought about it, the more I thought it could be helpful. And like I said, D-Maurice helped me through the process of thinking about it and thinking it through. And once I started, the blessing, blessing, it was one in the pandemic. It was that. I had time. And it was like diving into it. And I didn't know if I knew what I was doing. I just threw it out there. And then I let D-Maurice read it. And he was like, man, you something else. So just that alone, just the it was also, last but not least, it was a way for me to really pay tribute to the type of people like my father and other people that were there and gave all kind of sacrifices, man, and some of the most tough times in their lives, and because they loved their children and let people know that despite what you might think, we as people, particularly people African American or black people, man, we do all kind of things, bro. We make things happen despite a lot of tough situations, and I think that starts with our lineage and culture from where we come from, where it started, and we love each other, man. You know, one thing about us, you might do a lot of crazy things, but you go, I still love you. So I wanted to do that, and the more and more I got into it, the more and more it made sense, and that's where we're at today. So thank you.
Strong stuff right there, man. Strong stuff. Yeah. Gentlemen, I'm going to come out with a question, because they would call years ago where we are in life, I guess, as age and that nature, they would call these the golden years. And I'm not sure why, but, you know, I guess if you give it to people a chance, they try to give anything a title. You can have an ingrown toenail now, and they got a pill for that, and they give that a title, give it whatever the case may be. But to me, all the years are golden. They're great years. So I'm not going to ride into that theory. But I want to not saying we never talked about this before, but I know we haven't talked about it in a while. Because we're in a group. Us three are in a group of men around the world. And really, I'll say technically here in the United States, at this particular age, I guess if you were to think about where we'd be at this particular age, maybe younger, we assume that we'll have a significant other, a party, a wife. And we don't. We don't have her. I mean, we don't have that one, so we're unmarried. And I asked myself this the other day, and not that I even had to ask because I knew the answer, but why am I not married? Why? And not saying I have to be. Nothing says we have to be. But when I look at myself in that sense, I'm one of many that's just not married at this age, in their 50s. Let's just say roll the 50s. That's not married. And why? Why not? For me, I went back and I, you know, was thinking about it a little bit. And I realized when I was younger and at a younger stage, and I started dating, and I said to myself, I'm going to date like this. And most people would look at the way that I dated and think you're just trying to be with a bunch, sleep with a bunch, hang out with a bunch, whatever. And feel free to think that the case may be. But in reality, what I was avoiding is aggravation. Avoid putting myself in situations where I knew a relationship would bring stuff I didn't want to deal with. I don't have to deal with. So some of the good things out of a relationship, yeah, I want to enjoy that from time to time. But the aggravation, the nagging, the person trying to control, trying to manipulate, and all the other things, I wanted no part of it. And for me, when I looked at relationships back then, anytime I probably was in one or thought of the possibility if I was maybe at the crust of starting one, those are the things that I saw. And I knew within myself, too, that if I was to avoid that, it would benefit me in my health, physically and mentally. So when someone says to me, you know, you don't look your age, you don't do this, and when I'm out there and I got the energy and I have all that to basically volleyball at 59, Mr. DeMaurice, believe it or not, I can bring that back and contribute to that. Because as rough as it may sound, I didn't allow those things to break me down, and I knew they would over a period of time. And I knew when I got to a point in life, I wanted to be able to say, I rose above all that. I maintained myself above that, and I held myself here. So for me, if that meant I didn't have a significant other, that's what it meant. And I know when I maybe started this when I was saying this, people probably thought something different, but that's what it meant to me. Because for me, I wanted to basically self-preserve me. I don't want to be in a situation where I'm fighting to make it work and the other party's not. I don't want to be in a situation where because I think I should be there because society tells me, you know, you need to be with someone. You're at a certain age, you need to marry someone. So if it couldn't have been complimentary and I'm complimenting them, and that's a good portion, why I sit here and I'm not married. So I'm going to swing it to you, Mr. DeMaurice, and you know, the question would be, man, you know, you find yourself at 55. You know, and you and I both were at one point, but you find yourself here, and we've been unmarried for a good period of time. And there's reasons why we chose not to dive back into that water, bro. But beyond that, you know, how do you make it at 55, bro? Yeah, not married.
I value my peace. I just value my peace. And I realized that there are not too many people out there that value my peace more than me. And so if you're going to bring problems or disruption to my life, I'd rather just have peace. And I've gotten to a point where I like to go where I want to go, do what I want to do, say what I want to say, eat what I want to eat, and do what I want to do. And a lot of people say, oh, that's you just setting your ways. No, it's just that I found a balance in my life where, and I'm finally doing things that I like to do and I want to do. If I found somebody that could complement that, that'd be great. But I talked to Ms. Charles about this in the cesspool of dating. You're not going to find that. You're not going to find that too often. And I'm not saying it's impossible, but you're just not going to find it. It's just not there. And, you know, women my age know they got a lot of baggage. They got a lot of things. Not to say I don't have baggage, but, I've dealt with mine. But younger women tend to be attracted to me, and that's great and cool too. But with everything said, man, I just love my peace. I just love, you know, just my time. And people can call it selfish. People can say a lot of things, but I just don't want to enter in a relationship where my peace is disturbed or my kind of existence and how I like to do things is just disturbed. I just can't handle that anymore. I'm the type of person that I've sacrificed a lot, you know, to make other people happy and to try to appease everybody and despite my own feelings and my peace. And I'm at the point in my life now is like, no, I'm not going to have my peace at an expense to your happiness. So in order for me to be happy, maybe I, you know, need to find somebody or find somebody needs to enter my life where, like, you know, I understand what you're doing and I don't want to disrupt it. I want to complement it. I want to enhance it. And until I find that, I'd rather be single, bro.
Yeah. It's interesting because I remember years ago, man, you said, you know, you came along to this point. But I remember years ago, I said this to you, and we were on the phone. But I said, man, I date myself. He's like, you date yourself? I said, yes, sir, bro. I've been doing this for a while. I mean, I started this a long time ago. I take myself out on dates. Meaning that I've taken myself to concerts, I've taken myself to movies, I've taken myself out to dinner, and you say, you know, we assume that we have to have that other person there. And I say that because those are things that I enjoy. So I've taken myself on vacations, and it's like you assume, okay, it only could be, you know, we think in that romantic side sense that, okay, you got to have that person there to enjoy. No, you don't. Because if you're with me, again, you have to compliment that if I'm doing that with you. You know, we're doing that together. You being a pain in the ass, why am I bringing you? Or why am I with you? So those times, you know, that I've done that, I wanted to enjoy what I was doing peacefully. And I could tell you, man, when sometimes I've done that, people, I could be at a restaurant and, you know, I remember sometimes the waitress would come up and she'd go, okay, the other person, no, I'm just me. And it'd be like a ding smile go on her face, bro. And I would get some of the best servers you would imagine just sitting there eating by myself. And I don't know why, but it would happen. So I say that to say that I think sometimes we're scared to venture out and do those things alone. You know, we feel we must have someone, has to be there. And they, you know, it's not right unless, you know, that person's there. And some of us, are afraid to walk out in public in situations where other people are coupled up and you're by yourself because you're too afraid to think, what were they thinking? You know, he's not when they're going to be like, I'm here to enjoy what I'm here to enjoy. Not to mention it's less expensive too, but that wasn't even a part of it. So, Mr. Charles, coming to you, why we're getting to the basic foundation why we're not married, because some people would think we're not married because, we want to just play around, whatever the case may be. And that's a quick, easy answer if you want to just stop there and go. But it's deeper than that from what you just heard myself and Mr. DeMaurice kind of elaborate to. So coming to you, if you stop and think about it and put yourself, in the box to answer the question, why aren't you married, bro?
Well, some would say that I'm picky, and they might be right. Actually, they are. I'm like DeMaurice hit it on my head that you don't need somebody that's not going to bring something to the table in regards to enhance your life. I think I've been spoiled from the standpoint of I kind of primarily grew up an only child, so I'm used to being by myself. And as you mentioned about dating yourself, I've been dating myself for a long time, bro. I'm my biggest fan because I had to be in order for me to keep my sanity often. But the marriage part, I think it really comes down to you do want a peace of mind. You want to be in a good place. You want somebody that truly gets you. And there's only been a few people in my life, I think, as far as females are concerned, that really truly understood who I am. And oftentimes many say, yeah, they think they do, and they want to throw you in a category, and I heard something somebody said the other day. He said, I'm not them, I'm him, right? And I was like, wow, that's kind of cool. But it's to the standpoint of knowing what your peace, your happiness is, where you're at with that, it would take a very special individual to accept you for who you are, realizing that we're not perfect, but we have great intentions. We're going to love you like no other. I heard another piece where somebody mentioned that sometimes women don't know the pain we deal with and the screams that we have silently or the love that we have because it's all bottled up because we're by ourselves. And if you took the time to really understand who we are, and receive us for us to be good men and good people, the three of us are, you might run into something freaking magical, bro. I was telling somebody, if I ever fell in love a certain kind of way, and even at this age, man, a woman would probably be overwhelmed because I have so much love to give, bro. Not holding on to it, but it just has to come out naturally. And I think that goes for a lot of people. I think a lot of women don't understand that, but yeah, we don't want drama, man. I know I don't. I don't want drama because I'm in a pretty good place. Yeah, I love to hang out with somebody and have somebody close to me and whatever on a regular basis. But if I got to sacrifice my sanity and my peace and peace of mind so I can be next to somebody, it has to work together. So I think a lot of it has to do with that. I think you're not so much set in your ways, but you shouldn't have to go through a total transformation to be happy, man. Because right now, in my 50s, I could always have more financially, more material things. But I'm pretty damn happy, bro. Pretty good.
I want to get you guys' opinion on something. Because to me, this is kind of unique. And I think it has some layers to it. This one period of time, we was together for a good while. And when we started out, made it clear to what my intentions were, where I am, what I'm basically not going to be, just one person. So I remember saying to me, okay, I can understand that and I see where you are. And she's telling me where she basically, and she wasn't really trying to get married per se, but she said she would hope one day that we could probably become closer and things would be closer. And if that works, if it happens, it does. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But I remember you know, throughout the time of us being who we were. And she knew, you know, I would live outside of her. But she always would say to me from time to time, you know, just don't fall in love with one another. And if you do, let me know. That's all she asked for. And on the surface, that may sound crazy, but I want to see how that strikes you first, Mr. Charles. And Mr. DeMaurice, I'm going to come back to you and get your opinion. And here's such, what's your reaction, Mr. Charles?
Can you repeat that last part when you mentioned about the quote?
In other words, what she said to me is, you know, in so many words, I don't mind you doing that. I'm here for you, but if you find someone, don't fall in love with anyone if you can. Just tell them, you know, do whatever you do, but don't fall in love with them. And if you do fall in love, please let me know. And I would assume at that point she knows she would move out the way. But I thought that was interesting. Said at least, like I said, I know some people look at that and go, blah, 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 blah. But I want to kind of get you guys' opinion on that. That whole scenario itself.
That's interesting that you say that. I've been telling DeMaurice, especially when we reconnected, that one of my favorite songs is Just the Way You Like It by the SOS Band. And the leader, the lead singer, Mary, talks about that, where I think that it's to a point where the woman you're mentioning or a woman like that, they have such a strong sense of who you are and love you. It's almost like, just let me be number one and let me be closer to you and I'll love you like nobody else will. But if you fall in love and you go off with another person, I can't be involved in that. But I know you might go out and, as you said, in the song, it talks about how, you know, not being with other women. But it also says, if you ever really need love, I give it to you just the way you like it. So that woman knows she's number one. And so I'm not going to ask you to turn things around. But I think the ladies are more or less saying, and it's a very unique situation, I will love you. I always will love you. But if you fall in love with somebody else, I can't do that because I need to have my special place in your heart, which means you might have other people involved in your life. But what we have is special. And it will always be special unless you do something else different that affects that. And I think that's real deep because that's a lot deeper. And I've had that situation where I had a connection with a woman. We dated or we had a connection and we had our connection. I might see other people, but there's something about her. Our relationship was very special and unique, and she was number one, even though we weren't married.
What I find interesting before I come to you, Mr. DeMaurice, is that, you know, and I'm sure you two probably been in a situation where you hear a woman tells you, I was with so-and-so, you know, he ain't cheap, blah, 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 that you know of. Just that you don't know of. You can say because what you know of, because most men aren't going to be honest about it. And a good portion of men cannot be monogamous. It is what it is. I remember I was at work a few years ago, and this lady, you know, was talking, a group of us was talking, and she talked about a situation that she was in. And the guy, I don't know if he was married or whatever, or was separated, whatever the case may be, and, you know, she rolled out with him, and he swore to her he was just going to be with her, and then she come to find out that wasn't true. So she said her father said to her, men can't be just with one woman. So I asked, I said, you know, it's interesting your father would say that to you. I said, do you believe him? And she goes, no, I think, you know, and it's sad in a sense. And I'm not saying all men can't. I'm not saying it. Just saying what it is. But I don't think realistically we're looked upon as being truthful when it comes to that. And when she says to me she don't believe what her father's saying is true, it's what she's saying, she's hoping what her father's saying is not true. It's been proven to you. in most cases. And most women want to believe that they found that diamond in the rough, that he's so into you, blah, 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 blah. And I'm not saying in all cases, I'm not even saying the majority, but a lot of cases he's telling you what you want to hear. And then you find out later he's doing X, Y, Z, and you uproar because she always wants to believe her stuff is so good, who she is, what she represents, what she offers him. He has to go anywhere beyond her. And a lot of times that has nothing to do with what you're offering him. It just doesn't. It's sometimes, and as crazy as this may sound, it could be the nature of a man. And, you know, maybe that's your man's nature. But some men's nature aren't that way. With that being said, Mr. DeMaurice, your response to the scenario that was put out?
I feel that when a woman does that, I think that she's already in a place where she's in love with you, but she realizes that you're not there yet. And she's hoping, in my opinion, that you get to that point where you realize that she is the one that is going to be there through thick and thin. But if you find somebody that you fall in love with, then she realizes that, hey, I'm not the one for him. But I think she realizes that you are going to play. You do want to sow your wild oats. There are a lot of women out there, but it seems like when women do that, they're kind of banking on he will realize one day that I am the only one for him that will be whatever he needs and will stick there until you realize that. So sometimes I think women feel a lot more than we do, but I think a woman who does that probably understands that some men, especially men that they probably are interested in, are just not there and need time to get there. And so, you know, that's when I've been in those situations before too. And that's what I've heard in the feedback when things didn't kind of work out the way they wanted it to. And so, I think that, you know, we got so many, women have options too, but women are much more reserved in who they're going to be with. Some women, not all, who they're going to be with, who they're going to spend their time with. And when they find somebody that's worthwhile being with, they will stick and stay and invest time in that relationship, regardless of what you're doing, how you're acting, things of that sort. But once they get a sense that you have fallen in love with somebody else, they pull back that investment. They pull back that investment and they just move on in my experience.
We'll come back to you because from staying in the same situation. Is it that too, that she's put more onus on love and not necessarily the sexual act, in the sense mm-hmm. that she put more onus on basically what she feels for him, and she's not concerned with the sexual act. Is that is that a possibility?
Yeah, because, you know, I don't think men, I know I can speak for myself that there have been times where I've had sex. I didn't love the person. You know, I probably didn't even really like the person, but it was there. It was an option. And it's this primal kind of thing inside you that, you know, if it's there, you know, the time is right or things start popping, you know, you do what you do. And after it's over with, you know, you get that need met and you just move on. And I think some women understand that, you know, that sex doesn't equate love all the time. And so, but once you get to that threshold where the sex means that you, how much you care about that person and how much you want to show that person, Now it's a different ball game. That's the same question where if you've seen in married couples where the man is caught stepping out and the woman says, you know, the question, it's a weird question, but it's a question that hits this topic. Well, do you love her? And of course the man is going to say, no, I don't love her. You know, she's just, you know, a fling and or whatever. But that question for her is that if you're just having sex, that could be forgivable over time. But if you have given your feelings to somebody else other than her, then chances are somebody else has your heart. She doesn't have your heart, and she's not going to invest any more time and or energy into it. So that's a really key question that women will say. And you see it in movies all the time where men don't even say that. If you have sex with you stepped out on me, they're upset. They lose their mind. But when a woman says that, men become emotional in that particular point. Women become more logical with, okay, I know the difference between sex and love. And they'll ask the question, well, do you love her? And if you hesitate, she already knows. Hesitate to answer, she knows. But men, we don't do that. We don't think, oh, that's just sex. That's just her playing around or whatever. We don't think that. We flip it. We get emotional. They get logical. But they understand that sex and love can be two different things.
Yeah, that's so true. That is so true, and you're right. You see that all the time. They're basically asked, and it's like they, even at that moment when they're asked, do you love her, they're throwing away the part. They kind of, at that moment, throwing away the part that you had sex with her. But, and they realize if you love her, you know, realistically, what you care for her can't be the same anymore. If your heart has basically went out to her, your heart for her is not the same anymore. It's just not. And she probably realized at that point, you know, she's fighting a losing battle because you're going to move in that direction of your heart. And for a man to basically, to use the sex part to get to love, it's something else at that point. Because usually if for us, as you stated earlier, you know, it's sex. You know, whether we like them or the case may be, it's an opportunity that we take advantage of for the most part. But if the love part kicks in, it moves it to another level. Now, some men will confuse good sex for love, and love has nothing to do with sex, but some men have. But coming to the same question, Mr. Charles, when you look at it where, you know, she's separated and she realized, okay, if it's love, it's one thing, but if it's just sex, I can deal with that.
Yeah, it's I mean, that's right on point. I mean, you guys hit it right where it needs to be. You're right on point. Because women, as DeMaurice said, they know. I know sometimes where we as men, some men are confused, and they're so, I would call, sex crazed. They're losing their mind. They don't understand the difference, but there is a difference because you can have sex with somebody after a while, and that's all you're doing. But then again, it's like when your emotions are involved, it's totally different, and women understand that. Most women do. So, like I said, I had a situation where I know a person loved me, but I wasn't really ready to deal with their personality and all of that stuff. I wasn't ready for that. I just want to keep doing what I was doing. So anytime that they showed any type of thing that kind of pushed me away or I didn't like, I just would bounce and say, I'm leaving. But when a person loves you, then, like I said, feelings are involved, emotions are involved, and love just kind of adds to it because now you're deeper into your feelings, you're emotional, and you like them and you love them more things about them than just having sex. Sex is just a kind of another cherry on top to add to it, which enhances what you feel. But if you're just having sex, it's like, and that's why women are kind of like, you love her. Now I was just kind of doing something different. And he says, well, maybe we can be able to work it out if you don't love her. But if you love her, nothing you can do because you're all in emotionally. But if you can walk away from them because all you're doing is having sex, maybe we can rekindle what was there or find something new. So there's a major difference between just brothers out there that our age and a little younger. There, for y'all that don't know, there's a major difference between just having sex and getting your thing on than actually being in love and making love and having sex. It's a difference. I know you're feeling good right now because of what you're doing. Believe me, though, bro, it's a difference.
Yes, sir. Yeah, interesting stuff there. Interesting, man, because, yeah, I want to talk to, I'm going to call you gentlemen questions. I want to, you know, use the remaining time that we have to find out what's going on with you two gentlemen. So, Mr. Charles, I'll come to you first, a question you have for us this time around, sir.
Yeah, my question is, I'm going to throw this out to you. I'm going to kind of piggyback what we've been talking about. And you're like, why you ask that question? Anyway, do you think in your lifetime as we move forward that you will fall in love or find love again?
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I've never been scared of love, never run away from it in a sense. If it's there, my heart feels it, I'll run from it. But I love with a conscience. And I mean that by I will love you. If I fall in love, just because I'm not going to become, if I'm in love with you, I'm not becoming deaf, dumb, or stupid. I'm still who I am. Meaning that if I see where it's not really, you know, comparable, it's not really working, and some things are not in balance, my love and I take a walk because I'm not putting my love and my energy in a place it doesn't deserve to be. And some people think once you're in love with them, oh, you're just going to be there and you're going to ride out, ride or die. No, I don't believe in that theory. So what we love, to me, comes responsibilities. And it comes some things. It comes some trade-off. It comes some sacrifice. It comes some unselfishness. You can say the words easily. But if you're not bringing those things in a sense of intelligence, I could love you over here and keep it moving. So that's why I'm not afraid, because some people are afraid to fall in love because they're afraid what's going to happen. They're going to get hurt, whatever the case may be. I don't walk around with that theory in my head. You know, I'm just basically, if I love you, I'm going to part these things onto you. And I know for me, I love strong. And I, you know, it is who I am. I know what I'm capable of, and I'm in love of doing and feeling. And my point is, I'm not bestowing that on someone that doesn't deserve it. And once you start to give me an inclination that you don't deserve it, things will start to change. They'll just change. And usually, it may start out a certain way, but eventually it may get to the point where my love and I are gone. Your reaction to the question, Mr. Demers?
Man, I truly don't know. It's not something I really sitting around think about a lot. I used to years ago, but I don't sit around think about a lot because it's kind of like watching the same movie but with different characters and different actors playing the same old roles, and I think I've gotten bored with the kind of routine of meeting somebody and then getting to know them and kind of running the same kind of lines and to get the, you know, and so I've kind of gotten bored with it. And can it happen? You know, you watch movies and things of that sort and go, oh, you know, that's nice. It's a great story. But in reality, I truly don't know if that will ever happen again. Of course I would welcome it, but, I truly don't know. It's like, again, I'm bored with the whole process of it now. And, I think I mentioned it a few weeks ago, if it's not something new and refreshing and something that I haven't seen before or, experienced before, then I'm probably going to kind of just snooze on it and just kind of just let it go by because it's like, okay. It's almost like you got your lines already set and, you know, you're in this big old play called life and she's going to say this, you're going to say this, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. And I just don't feel like I got the energy to do that anymore. So if it's not something new, not something that that kind of piques my interest to the point where I'm like, okay, this is something that I'm really interested in, I'm not sure if it'll ever happen again for me.
Your response to your question, Mr. Charles?
Yeah, I'm open to it. I think I have I see it from a different light. When I was younger, I had this way of thinking that it would just be something that it's a one-shot deal. You approach it a certain way and you go fight to the end, and that's what it is. There's no leeway in between. And now that I understand that there is, and I understand more about myself and who I am, and also with that fact that I understand more about what women need and what is expected in relationships, and that can change because depending on the individual, I understand that. But I think with all that being said, yeah, I mean, I'm open to it. I would welcome it, but it has to be right. Because again, coming back to understanding me, and I think that's been a big problem where I don't think the individuals really truly understood me. I like a person that's really kind of carefree with life and their mindset. They don't take themselves too seriously, but they're confident enough in living their life. Like I said, I said this before, and I know this is totally fiction because it never happened, at least right now, but I might speak in real existence. But I love the carefree attitude that Tracy Ellis Ross has about life and what I see. I just like that about her. She's not afraid to be herself and who she is. That is so appealing and so sexy to men. I know to myself, and just how she goes about her life, and she doesn't take it too seriously, but you can tell she's probably a person that really could love and set things for what they are and people for who they are. I think that's something that more of us took that attitude and being comfortable with who we are and live our life, and you have to accept us for who we are, I think it'll go a long way. So if I find that, something like that, yeah, I'll probably take the ride, but I'm like Dee Maurice, kind of tired of playing the game. If it happens, happens. I'm not going to the grocery store looking for it. You hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. It is what it is. Basically, of men that we may feel something of the foundation of the same. It, you know, might be different variations, but yeah. And that's why we are where we are and we choose to be where we are because, you know, we're not going to be in it just the sake of being in it. And I know some guys, I've heard some guys say before, I don't grow old alone. Hell, I came in this world alone, I'm going to leave this world alone. So I never look at it like that. You know, I don't perceive and look at it that I need to have somebody there for the sake of doing it. And I've seen some cats, I think I've done that. They got to a certain point, and you know what, I'm going to go get some, you know, I don't buy into it. Your question, Mr. DeMaurice?
Yeah, when you're in a relationship, what would you consider cheating in a relationship? Outside of the sexual act, what would you consider cheating?
Well, that can go to a lot of things, man. I mean, cheating is always, you assume that someone is getting involved with someone else, but I think you can phrase it too. If you're not bringing what you should be bringing to a relationship, some of the basic fundamentals, you're cheating a relationship. You may not be cheating the person in essence that you are, but you're cheating a relationship, meaning that, you know, there's things that you know can enhance the relationship or enhance your partner, and this is on both sides of the spectrum, male or female. You're cheating that relationship. My thing is, why be in it if you ain't going to be doing what you should be doing? Why be in it? So if you're in it just to say, I'm in it, I have this, I'm getting that, you're cheating the relationship. Yeah, you may not be sleeping with someone else, but you're cheating it. And, you know, if you're not really bringing what's needed from your side of the table and, you know, to meet the standards of the relationship, you're cheating it. Your response, Mr. Charles.
I think time, for sure. Because some people, they can be married or whatever, and then they're in a position and they're spending more time with that person. The other part, too, is part of cheating is, I think, would be you're in a relationship, married, whatever it may be, and you're not a priority. You're cheating, man. You know, I'm supposed to be your husband, significant other, whatever, and I'm over here having to be share time with this person. So why are we together? Let's just be friends then. You know, that's how you see it. You want everybody to be together and on the same par. There should be a difference. And I think, to me, that has a lot to do with it. I didn't think that way at first, but if you don't make me a priority, why am I here? I'm wasting my time. Somebody else will.
Mr. DeRice, you know, how does that play out in the world of cheating?
Yeah, I think when you become emotionally involved with another person, I think that's when the cheating begins, because if you're becoming emotionally involved with someone else, that means that you're not getting that thing you need from the person you're supposed to be with. And once you kind of set that in, it's just, to me, it's just a matter of time before everything else will fall into place as far as not just the mental or emotional, but the physical. You'll feel a connection with that person, and you'll justify it. And so I consider once you start getting emotionally attached with the other person, whether it's spending more time talking, hanging out, that lunch husband or wife that you have, or work husband and wife that you have, and you're spending eight plus hours with them every day, it can become physical after a while once you feel like you're not getting that from your significant other.
Yeah, cheating is funny because when we think of it in terms of relationship, you automatically go to thinking, you know, if it's not having sex, you know, if that's, then it's not cheating, you know, and it can come in different forms within a relationship other than basically intercourse. You have another question, Mr. Charles?
Yes. As you mentioned, I guess you don't want to say golden age years or whatever. What are some of the things, if you can think about it at this point in your life, before we go on to glory, if you will, that you want to accomplish in your life before you leave?
Good question, man. Very good question. Yeah, I said this to myself a while ago. I want to, you know, of course I want to enjoy every day, some things that on a personal level that I want to achieve and do and relish in. But overall, for me, the rest of the time, man, I want to have things situated to where when I'm no longer here, you know, my three kids, you know, are better off. And not only based on probably financially or something of that nature, but I want to make, you know, and I've been thinking and doing this early, even before I even came to this conclusion, this thought, but I want to know that, you know, and dad, you know, I've had an impact, a significant impact on their life for the good. And if I'm not here, yeah, they can miss me. But I left enough with them to where, you know, they know dad did his thing and they have one hell of a dad. And for that, you know, I can go with a smile on my face because partly that's part I was put here on this earth anyway. So I enjoyed this life. I enjoyed the ride. It's been great. And I want to continue to enjoy it for another long period of time. But when the ride comes to an end, those things have been accomplished, and my time has not been in vain. Has not been. So that's mainly the par for course right now, is to make sure, you know, when that day comes, they're taken care of in different ways. And there it is. Your response, Mr. DeMaris.
Can you repeat the question again, Mr. Charles?
Yeah. The question is, is there something or some things that you would like to accomplish before the end of your days? If you had something, if you look back at your life now, Is there anything that you go, man, I need to really try to do this, I want to do this, but my time is up?
There are a number of things that I want to do that I feel are you know, on my kind of to-do list to accomplish. And I don't really want to put it out in the atmosphere because I don't want the evil one to kind of disrupt it. So, but yeah, there are a few things that I want to accomplish that I'm working on. And it's something that keeps me motivated because I'm all about creating and doing things that are new and really kind of striving and kind of just exhausting all possibilities of what I want to accomplish. And so once I get into something, I want to get into a full throttle and master it as much as possible and to the point where if people want to come behind me and do it, then I can teach, I can guide, I can give them a sense of where to go and how to get there. And so, I look at accomplishments that it's crazy because somebody was asking me this the other day about, you know, and I know Mr. Charles, he's working on his book. As soon as I finish a book and it's out for print, I start thinking about the next one. It's like I don't celebrate it. It's not something that, you know, like I'll have like a cigar and some whiskey and say, okay, after the cigar and whiskey, okay, what's next? And so I don't really sit down and kind of just look at it and like in all its glory and all that stuff. It's like, okay, to the next project. And that's the way I am. Once I accomplish it, I want to move on and do something even better. So yeah, with accomplishments, they're great to have. It's been a while since I just sat down and thought about all the things I've done because I'm too busy trying to strive to do other things and create and leave a legacy that is so rich that folks will say, man, that guy did his thing. That guy, we maybe haven't seen it when he was here, but this guy really put it down. And when did he find all the time to do all this stuff? That's what I want people to wonder, like, you know, that the stuff you do now keeps living on. And I told Mr. Charles this, and I said, when you get your book done, you become immortal. And that's what I want to be, immortal with my accomplishments.
Mr. Charles, good question, man. It's interesting because I think that's what we should be thinking, especially this time, age in life, man. We should all be kind of thinking, in a sense, you know, what's next? You know, how we're going to handle what's next? How are we going to achieve what's next? What are we going to do? And I know I remember hearing folks around this age getting close to retire, and they basically, I don't want to do nothing. I just want to kick back. And doctors have said to them, the worst thing you can do. Worst thing you can do. But your response to a good question, boss.
Appreciate it. I'm along the same lines. I'm sure there's some other things I could pinpoint individually, but I'll say this, one of the main things I want to continue to aspire to do is thinking about leaving a legacy or being a influencer as to having our younger people move forward and aspire to live their dreams, man. Because when think about, you mentioned earlier about our older relatives pushing forward and encouraging us, knowing that they may not even reach those goals, but they want us to do better. I feel that in these days and times, we have platforms because we're missing leaders, man, in our own communities, and not the big world and all that, yeah, that too, but particularly in our culture, we're missing leaders, and we got to take notice of that. And I would love to be able to, not by making a national platform or anything, but just being able to, through my work and whatever I'm doing, influence other people and give younger people hope, encourage other people, which is the primary reason why I really, really wanted to pen this book, and I've kind of felt like I needed to. because I want to influence other people, because somebody did it for me. And we got a lot of great talent out there, but the problem of it is even the, particularly the late bloomers coming out of high school, I was one of those kids with the right connection. You never know who the hell we might be getting, right? It might be one of my next most influential leaders just waiting to be, you know, brought onto the scene and blossom. Or somebody has to pour into them and let them know that they're worthy.
I want to piggyback on what you said, man, and doing such, I want to salute Haley Taylor Schlitz, I believe her last name is. At 19 years old, she became the youngest black graduate from law school from SMU University. Think about that, 19, bro. 19. Wow. And also, this happened a couple of weeks ago, that the HBCU students at Wiley College, their 2022 balance, has been paid off by an anonymous donor. And I like that in a sense. The person that paid that off basically just took care of it, said, you know, I don't need any glory from it. I don't need any claim. I just want you all to have a good head start going out there and having that. And to me, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Your next question, Mr. G. Maurice, if you have one, sir.
Sure. Sex or making love or making the love ever be planned or scheduled?
No, bro. I mean, to some degree, yes, but overall, to me, the spontaneity is more. But when you kind of set things up sometimes, you can't help but kind of set up, because you're setting up the foundation for it to take place. I get that. But I think once you're, you know, once you two are kind of connected and that's what you do, just let it happen when it happens. And, you know, if it doesn't happen, okay, it's no big deal either. But to me, that spontaneity, that impulsiveness is more of the eroticness about it. And it brings it to me. If you're telling me, okay, Saturday at 9 o'clock, whatever, I'm like, man, you know, I mean, I'm not going to, you know, reject the time, but that's to me, that's too robotic. It's way too robotic. Your response, Mr. Charles?
Well, I agree. I like to be spontaneous and whatnot, but if she said, anyway, I'm telling too much. If somebody say Sunday, they say every day, for whatever reason, at 2:15, I'm going to be there at 2:15, but I'm also going to bring something else if she wasn't ready for it at 2:15. We're not going to keep it the same way. So we're going to add some spice to it. So we're going to do the 2:15, but, you know, you can get spontaneous when you show up. So I don't care what time it is. You can call the time, or you can do it. We can set up the times throughout the week. But every time, there's going to be some different things going on. So schedule on.
Your response, Mr. DeMaurice?
Yeah, man, I like the surprise of it, man. I like to be surprised. I like to be spontaneous. You know, you're hanging out, and you don't know what's going to happen. And then it starts happening, you go, oh, man, this is about to happen. You know, that brings a little bit more excitement to the mix, man. So if you know it's every Saturday night after 9, after no. But some excitement, some, you know, spontaneity, because I've had some occasions where, you know, you're just hanging out and all of a sudden, you know, things start to escalate. All of a sudden, like, okay, all right, okay, this is going down. And so, yeah, it just adds that much more excitement to the whole thing. So don't bore me with it. You know, give me a day. We're going to do this and this day at this time, and this is how long it's going to last, and this is what we're going to do. No. Surprise me.
I got a question for you two gentlemen. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where someone from your past, and you basically know that that's been over with, you know, the top has been put on it for the whatever case that needed to be put on it, but for some reason you find yourself thinking about that person, and that's surprising to you? You first, Mr. DeMaurice.
Yeah. Sometimes that will happen. It on rare occasions, yeah, you hear a song, you see something, a picture, or, you know, you reminisce about certain things, and, you know, old memories come back. But then, you know, to me, reality just smacks you right back in the face. And after, sometimes you outreach to that person, and then you start talking and corresponding, and then you go, oh, yeah, that's why we're not together. So you oh, I remember now, you know. So that just takes it all away. I just recently had one of my exes, she called one day. We were texting back and forth, and she's like, you know, I really want to see you in person. And, you know, I've been thinking about some things, and we had some coffee. We had a really nice conversation, you know, about some things that were unclear, and it wasn't anything, because, you know, I was telling her, you know, I'm not trying to rekindle anything, and she was saying the same thing. And so, but it was some clarification, she admitted some things that I kind of knew, but for her to just come out and say it, because she was saying, you know, when we were together, I really wasn't mature enough to handle commitment. And I was shocked for her to say that, but I kind of felt that at the time. And she was like, you know, I wanted to apologize for that. She said, because I guess throughout life you realize that, you know, there are certain people who get away, or the one that got away kind of syndrome. And she was like, hey, you know, people ask about, she was basically just coming out front that people ask about you and why didn't we end up together. And it just really made her think about a lot of things that I share with her about how I was feeling at the time. And I got to a point where I'm like, okay, I don't trust this anymore. And here's why I didn't trust it. And she was like, the reason why I did this, because I wasn't mature enough to commit. And it wasn't just you. It was, you know, it was me. And maybe this is what she needed to kind of feel like, okay, let me get this off my chest, because I guess maybe she was talking to other people about it and why didn't it happen. And then she wanted to express it to me. So, but yeah, you get those moments where you know, you reminisce and then you go, okay. You realize that, you know, things are the way they're supposed to be. That's why you're apart.
I love that, man. I love the fact that she's, you know, mature enough to come back and basically clear things up. And that takes a lot of work, man. It takes some courage.
Oh, yeah.
And it takes something, man, to basically come back and speak on something and notice it first. And then to come back to a party and say something, I mean, that, I commend her for that, because we all need to be doing that. I've talked about this in the show a few times. We all need to do stuff like that from time to time. But you're right, because your mind can definitely go back there. And I don't know if it's a song from Sade that put it out, things could never be what it was. It's just, you know, sometimes things are in that moment, a period of time, and you can remember something, and you go back and you may think, okay, I can go back to that feeling. And then you go back, you might be talking, and you quickly remember, you know, why, you know, things may be, you know, the way they are. And it's interesting because I had a dream about someone recently, and the dream, it's I could tell it was her, but it kind of, the dream didn't look like her, but in the imagery and the mental mindset of the dream, it was basically portraying her. And it just seemed like, in the dream, it seemed like we rolled back into that. And I woke up and I was like, you know, because I remember separate from that. And I've always kind of used this as a mental or a mindset. I remember when I was separated years ago, and you remember our cousin Lonnie Alonzo, not Alonzo. He said to me, he didn't like the fact that I was separated or got separated. So in spite of him not knowing what went on in the marriage, he was like, man, go on back home, blah, 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 blah. I said, you know, you need to mind your business, bro. You just need to mind your business. But one night, you know, I remember sitting up in my bed. It was like 10 o'clock at night. And two voices came to me. And one voice said, you know, you don't need to be here. You need to go back home. You know, why are you here? And the other voice said, remember why you left.
Well,
and when that voice kicked in, calm, peace, and it just is. So even in those situations, you know, to bring it back to reality, remember why it's over. Just that's it. Remember why it's over. Your response to the question, Mr. Charles?
Yes, it definitely has happened. I think sometimes I always wonder, man, if I was a person that wasn't mature enough, how would that work out now? And then I was like, oh, well, maybe it might come back around. This and that. Then I started thinking about it. I'm like, well, no, they're not going to change. So they're not going to change. And I know I'm different. So it probably would have been only lasted shorter than what it did initially. So, yeah, you do. Because, I mean, there have been some great situations that I've been involved in, some good people. But, again, I think it comes back to me why I don't think going back is always a good thing, because as much as I cared about those persons that cared about me, again, they didn't take enough time to understand who I was. And that's always going to be a problem when you don't know me. When you think you know me, you don't know me, it's going to be a problem.
Yeah, I think even going back to your situation, Mr. Maurice, it's sad that people can't identify that when they're within the moment of the relationship. And that's cool mm-hmm. to come back, and I respect that, but it's just sad that sometimes we can't identify that and make those adjustments and say that during the relationship and how that would work things differently and strengthen the relationship in a sense. So, you know, it's kind of sad. Gentlemen, we got a few more minutes to go, and I want to do this. I want to take a chance and give each of us, you know, 30, 40 seconds to pay tribute to a woman that we all grew up loving, man. One of us had a chance to meet. And I saw something the other day that Pam Grier, I think she just turned 73, bro. I think she's getting ready. She's putting together an autobiography, hopefully have a movie done of her life, and it should be done. And when you think about it, man, 73 years old for Pam Grier, still looking fine, still looking sexy. I mean, just when you go back to our early days or watching movies or whatever it is, and you think about the role that she played, I remember there was a white guy, Quentin, whatever his name is, he had in the movie, Jackie Brown or whatever. And he said that she was the first action woman movie hero. And I don't know if society look at her that way, but when we think about it, she was. So 30 seconds, you first, Mr. DeMaurice, and Mr. Charles will swing over and get about 30, 40 for you to get on out of here. You're quick. 30 seconds, Mr. DeMaurice. Pam Grier, let's roll.
I ain't even got to take 30 seconds. I love this woman. And she can still get it at 73. I'm putting it out there. You can still get it, Ms. Grier. You can still get it. I'm done.
Like Ricky Ray Charles said, what's up? Turn my pants upside down. Mr. Charles, what you have, sir?
Yeah, since I was blessed in order to meet you, and she blew me away even more. Just happy birthday, but also to the point that she was a more beautiful person inside who she was than she was as fine as a woman. That says a lot, bro. Fine as hell. Ooh, fine even more inside. Man, she make you come home and just do all the dishes and just do what you supposed to do because she don't treat you the right way. She told the ladies, take care of your men and appreciate your men, ladies. Stay close. Ooh, love you, Pam.
I say this day, man, we got to do a road trip and pay her a visit. Gentlemen, get together next week and do it again. It's when Black Men Talk, Mark Elliott, Mr. Reese, Mr. Charles. Take care.